Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Oh, shalom, 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 family of Yah.
Welcome again to another episode edition of Blog Talk Radio. Your host here tonight, Brother Shane, Teacher Shane, here with you tonight. As we again, we break bread and fellowship with the Word of Yah, which is a good thing. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, bless you all, saints. Right on it again, giving us a check. Oh, we got a zero in the room. Probably somebody needs to let him know to refresh. Oh, hallelujah. Shalom, 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 saints. Thank you again for the radio check. We are here again this evening. Hallelujah. Feels like it's been a while since I've been back behind this mic, but praise Yah, praise Yah. We thank Yah for the feast days. Thank Yah for allowing us to participate in our rehearsal to do this together as a family. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother, dear Brother Mike in the UK has published another wonderful video kind of pretty much summarizing, you know, a lot of the events that happened during Tabernacles in the song. And we thank Yah for that. I know he is very grateful and very thankful to do that for you, his brothers and sisters, that you will be edified, that you will be strengthened, that you will reflect. Hallelujah. Here we are entering into the dead season, saints of the Most High Yah. But you got to remember, we are in the land of the living. Hallelujah. 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 The pagans are getting ready to go into their Sabbaths and their holidays and whatever you want to call it, and their dead season. Let the dead bury the dead, as Yeshua said. Praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise Yah. Oh, hallelujah. Break out in tongues there for a little bit, but oh, praise Yah. I just want to speak tonight with clarity that give you understanding. I just getting excited, getting excited, getting excited, saints of the Most High Yah. Oh, praise Yah, praise Yah. We thank Yah again for allowing us another day, for having, you know, our minds kept by His Word, clothed by His Word, sheltered by His Word. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you again for another Shabbat teaching as we enter again into, you know, spiritual warfare. Thank you for that. Pastor went over, you know, the multitude of spirits again and how they influence us, the good and the bad. And you just scratch the surface, but I pray each and every one of you received something, you know, had a takeaway, was edified by it, was able to be strengthened by it. And I know you was, if you had the ears to hear and the heart to receive. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. To be in the house of Yah, to have the eyes that see and the ears that hear. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise Yah. Well, saints, we here again this evening as we continue in our journey in the book of Hebrews, and I thank Yah for that. Now, we're embarking upon chapter 10 here tonight. You know, before the broadcast started, I was reflecting, you know, over a lot, you know, what I've been meditating on throughout the past few weeks on this, And I pray tonight, you know, by the help of the Holy Spirit that, you know, something will be conveyed, that will be exhorted, forwarded, whatever the word I can say to you. And again, you'll be edified, you'll be strengthened. You'll strengthen that which remains here to edify one another. And thank Yah for this privilege. And thank you for joining us here tonight. Thank you for your continual offerings and your prayers. Oh, hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Yah. So, saints of the Most High Yah, let us Let us dine tonight. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. I pray each and one of you has your word before you. Able to receive, able to listen, able to hear tonight. It's my prayer. Oh, hallelujah. So we've been in this book for a while. And I thank Yah, you know, I really, really, really thank Yah for what he has revealed to us in this hour and what he's continually revealing to his children. I am grateful that he is not willing that any of us should perish. Always coming to repentance, that we rejoice at the hearing of his word, whether it be in reproof, rebuke, admonishing, and exhortation. Got to always receive the word as, you know, it's a loving embrace. No matter what state of mind you are in. And I pray you're in a right state of mind tonight to receive the word. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, saints, if you have your word. Come from the King James Version. I will probably be switching back and forth tonight between the King James and I've got the Lamsa Peshitta here, the Aramaic. I like reading it at times because it does open up and give place to, you know, a richer understanding. And that's a beautiful thing of Yah, that he would give us this and allow us, you know, in this grace to really, ooh, praise Yah, to understand him. Oh, thank the Most High, Yah. Chapter 10, verse 1, says, for the law, notice that, for the law. That's something in this time, this hour, you know, especially amongst the Christian ranks, a lot of ranks, you know, that they want to say that it's done away with. We've heard it over and over and over and over again. And it's amazing, you know, this mindset. If they believe that the law is done away with, then what is their purpose of telling people to repent? I mean, they give them no foundation for repentance if the law is done away with. Well, we've been talking here in Hebrews about the high priest, about Yeshua HaMashiach, about Melchizedek, about the order of Melchizedek. We've been talking about the covenants, talking about first that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. And in, you know, and in many instances, you know, as we've journeyed through the book of Hebrews, we've seen a comparison, which is a beautiful thing in this book. And it's what we're about to read here in verse 1 about how the comparison would go first that which is natural. And then it would give us a great foundation and understanding which is natural. It would give us a reflection of Moshe and the tabernacle and such like. And then it would bring us into the spiritual, the very essence, the very purpose, the very meaning of why it happened in the natural. Again, we're going to look at that again tonight, saints of the Most High, Yah. Hallelujah. But as verse 1 of chapter 10 starts out, for the law, it's signifying now, for the law having a shadow, good things to come. The shadow, the Greek definition number 4639, it means a shade caused by the interception of light. So we know that any time during, you know, the day when there's no clouds and the sun is at its full force and wherever position it is at the sky, you know, we can walk down and be out under, you know, the light of it, and we see that it, as it strikes us and strikes things, that it does cast a shadow. But we look at the shadow, but we don't actually, we see an outline, we see a figure of something, but it's not the very image, not the very image. So most of the time when we look at the shadow, then we tend to look at the thing which is causing the shadow. And that's, you know, here in the book of Hebrews, that's what it's trying to get our minds to, trying to get us to have this comprehension of why this went on before and why this was established before to bring us into the now. Now it says again, for the law having a shadow, notice this, the law, it has a shadow, having a shadow. The law had a, it was casting something. Even back then, you know, the patriarchs and everyone, the prophets, they desired to look into the thing that we're immersed into now. You know, they could vaguely, you know, have somewhat of an understanding of which was coming, because they just had an outline, you know, just like, you know, you see a shadow during the day. You can even see shadows at night if the moon is bright. And it's amazing, you know, that we can take the, you know, this little simple illustration of a shadow and bring it over to, you know, what the Spirit is trying to convey to us in these passages here, in these verses here. But it's, you know, it's talking about this law having a shadow. The law in itself was casting a shadow. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, this image cast by an object and representing the form of that object. So it says, for the law, it had a shadow, and this was its shadow. This is beautiful. We take time to really, really taste this word. Take time to really meditate on it. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. Oh, so that's the shadow it's talking about. That's what it was casting. You know, if we have that mindset, you know, of this beautiful thing written in the minds and the hearts of Yah's people after they have received his Spirit. And we say that this is done away with, and many of them you see, they are, you know, might as well be cast into, you know, the population of the walking dead. And there's a lot of religious sects out here that do not have the Spirit of Yah. And because they have not the Spirit of Yah, then what can the law do for them? See, the law in their minds is bondage. The law in their minds is restricting you. So, you know, you can do away with that thought in your mind, and you come this once saved, always saved. That means, you know, I've been called. I'm a saint of the Most High. No matter, you know, I go in sin and cause all kinds of hell, I'm still saved. Because once, you know, I have a mental ascension that I have been saved, then no matter what I do, no matter how much I sin, I'm still saved. See, you know, that is a mind. That is a conscience void of the law. Because if the law was on the inside, that mouth would not be speaking it. That heart would not be penning and speaking such words of death, such words of foolishness. Because those we that have received the Spirit of Yah, we understand upon this receiving of his Spirit, what was written in our hearts, in our minds. This, you know, this is the basis of the new covenant, the renewed covenant of having his Spirit in his people. And a lot of them out there are confessing Christ but not have his spirit. And they are none of his. We know by the record. We know by the record. We know by the record. But getting back here to about this law. This law, I mean, as more and more I read of this law, I don't see it as a detriment to us, as many are out there peddling that it is a detriment for someone to preach it and to teach it and to lift it up. I mean, if it was not of such significance, then why in the natural would he, with his own finger, write it in two tables of stone if it didn't have precedence, if it didn't have something that was foreshadowing something to come? So, yeah, I mean, the people's minds are not exercised in this manner. I'm trying to break it down plainly, you know, especially as a teacher, you know. And I see pastor, you know, when he's administrating in pastorship, you know, when the spirit is administrating in its different capacities, you know, the lengths that it will go, you know, you can see expressions and passions, you know, expressed by pastor, you know, to some that would not, those that would not have the law, they would, you know, totally receive it as, you know, against them and about them, and they would totally misinterpret the message. No matter, you know, the man had to, you know, little himself and humble himself just to reach your conscience. You know, even, you know, I myself have witnessed this and understand this, that we, the ministers of Yah, to even reach your consciousness, you know, the spirit does, it impels us and it pushes us, you know, to realms of it. To some, it looks like foolishness. It looks like pure craziness. But if, you know, it's somehow, some way, you know, this little sketch, this little teaching, this little tirade, this rebuke, this reproof, somehow, some way could pierce your conscience, and that you would receive something that would wake you up out of a sleep that is trying to come upon the church of Yah. So, you know, when the word, the law, is being preached or taught, it is to us, you know, grace upon grace and mercy upon mercy. Yah is love. I mean, I can't get no simpler than that. And I want to stay in, you know, the boundaries and in the multitude of the simplicity of Christ. I mean, I hear a lot of sects out here teaching the law. But they're teaching it by the letter. And you know, the word has, you know, that's not the shadow that was to come. When you're using this letter to kill, when you understand the law, when you have it, let's say, on the exterior, when you only understand it from, you know, a logical standpoint, you know, when you don't have no fellowship with this law on your inward parts where it should be. And this is so prevalent. I mean, this is so hinging on you, the saint of the Most High God, to be in this new, renewed covenant, having this law written in your hearts and in your mind, because it was prophesied. It was prophesied. This was a part of the good things to come. And some want to reckon it as not a good thing, when it's there to keep you in the kingdom, when it's a boundary, when it's a bulwark, when it's a wall to keep you in his love, keep you in his protection, keep you in his grace, keep you in his mercy. As long as, you know, it is exercised Holy Spirit is there, faithful and just, to remind you the things Yeshua has said. I mean, you know, from the beginning, this very law, it proceeded from the being of Yah, written with his finger. And Yah says, if I cast out spirits, cast out devils, cast out demons with the finger of Yah, no, assuredly. How? You mean casting out spirits and raising the dead and healing the sick is part of the good things to come from the law? Yes. Have we really understood it to this level? You know, for us to help a brother, to help a sister out of bondage of sin, out of bondage of demons and devils. You know, if there is no basis of a law, then where is there a basis of deliverance? If it's not so pertinent to be written in your hearts and in your minds, then why are you confessing Christ? You cannot confess Christ. Because we know that the law, as Yeshua says, it embodies two. Love Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy being, all thy heart, soul, mind, body, strength. And then the second is likened to the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If any man be overtaken any fault, consider one thyself in the spirit of meekness. Why? That you may deliver your brother or your sister. Because if it wasn't for that law, then there will be no conscience of, you know, sin. It's an amazing thing that people don't really realize the dexterity and the depths of words at times. But this law, having a shadow of good things to come, having the law, having a shadow. Let me read this in the Aramaic, Peshitta from Lamsa. It says, for the law had in it a shadow of good things to come, but was not the essence of the things themselves. Hence, although the same sacrifices were offered every year, they could not perfect those who offered them. Now notice that. Listen again, back in the King James. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and that's the embodiment, that's the shadow that he wants our minds to be hinged on, to our minds to be focused on right now. The law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. Can never with those sacrifices, which they, and we read earlier, we've taught, we have fellowshipped in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, talking about, you know, let's go there real quick. Talking about the they, can never with those sacrifices which they, who are the they? Who are the they? Let's go find out who are the they. 5:1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to Yah, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Now that word sacrifice. Now look at that word now. I'm going, oh, here it is. Here's another sacrifice. Good things. Okay, we're okay, Most High Yah. You're drawing our mind back to the law, and you're letting us know that it had a shadow of good things to come, And now, Most High, you're bringing into this picture sacrifices. Now, this sacrifice, let's look at that. You know, in its literal, I guess, pure definition, if I can use the word, it says the offering of animal or plant or human life or some material possession. And this is just, you know, a general definition to a deity, as in propitiation. Notice that word, or homage. Again, it says the person, animal, or thing so offered. Again, it says the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. I'm like, with that definition, I went boom. I like, I'm a little, all my mind could go to was Yeshua. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. And then, you know, my mind was reflecting. Yeshua, you know, he was the ultimate sacrifice. And again, my mind and the spirit draws me back to Hebrews 2:14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, it said, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And I'm looking at this, and the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. And I'm looking at the mind of Yeshua and the mind of Yah, you know, in this aspect, you know, and I'm looking at we, the people of Yah, his offspring, his children. And even in this, you know, the word just testifies, and the volume of it just rings so loudly how much we, his children, are prized to him. This Elohim, this Yah, would send his only begotten son. And this son would put that body on a tree for us. Yeshua would take on flesh and blood. That this sacrifice, as more and more as we progress and mature and get more perfect in this walk, the depth of it is, my mouth drops to the floor. I'm in awe. And you should be in awe. I mean, when you sit back and just meditate on all this, you know, that the Holy Spirit brings back to remembrance. No wonder one would hit their knees. No wonder, you know, the spirit of Yah in them would cause them to prostrate and cry, holy, holy, holy. You know, that good thing to come was not springing up in them a wellspring of life to allow them entrance, you know, to allow them vision that, oh, Most High, at any time, at any hour. I found myself in transgression. I found myself in iniquity. I found myself in sin. But your law, the law that is in me, come to me. And the word of Yah came unto me, saying, you have sinned. You have done this. You have done that. And now it opens the door. Opens the door. Opens the door to receive the blood of Christ. That we would gratefully be washed in it and cleansed in it. That we know that this sacrifice was there to deliver us out of this bondage, out of this corruption. And we would think this thing is an unholy thing and tread underfoot the blood, as we learned, fellowship, last blog talk that we, Teacher Shane and you, family, were immersed in. And even as I speak of this, I'm overwhelmed and I'm like, you know, Most High Yah, help me to convey this to my brothers and my sisters. As you have loved them, give me the ability to love them also. You know, as I look upon the good things to come, as I look upon this sacrifice that you have given, the Most High, give me that strength to sacrifice myself, to give of my energy, to give of my time, to give, you know, of what you have given me. If you give me the open door to edify and to admonish, to reprove and rebuke, and it's all this, you've given me the spirit of love to do it in. And I, you know, when you pray, when you know you convey in the spirit of Yah to your brother and your sister, that they also are receiving it in the spirit of Yah, and that they would receive, you know, the good things to come. And we must suffer. And we must suffer. And we must suffer. Christ said we got to suffer. That is going to give us the strength of reigning. You know, if it wasn't for the suffering, how, you know, could we get on our knees? I mean, what would bring us to our knees? What would give us the power, you know, to humble ourselves and bring us to our knees, to cry out to the one that loved us first to provide the escape? We look to the sacrifice and we receive the sacrifice. And now we receive the sacrifice, we find ourselves as being a sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. Yeah, we live in a fleshly body and it has pains, it has emotions, it has feelings, it has desires. But if it wasn't for, you know, the good things to come, you know, the things that are driving us to maturity, driving us to be perfect, driving us to be complete in Him, that we will reign with Him, that we will be partakers of the inheritance that He so lovingly has resounded in our ears and in our hearts and in our spirits and in our souls. With his word, you know, he's wanting to, you know, to impregnate his people's conscience with his word. That something can always be birthing and birthing and birthing. Because this new man that is in us, and we really got to embrace the new man. This new man, he does have a new voice. Good things to come to bring us to perfection, to bring us to completion. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, says it can never with those sacrifices, and it is bringing us again to that first which is natural. So that we can, you know, go back, meditate, learn from it. Okay, Most High Yah. You've given me, you know, you brought a structure, a foundation of that which was. Now, Most High Yah, you letting us know that which is. Now, Most High Yah, I bow my knee to you, and I want to know which is to come. those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect? Again, I read in the Aramaic, for the law had in it a shadow of the good things to come, but was not the essence of the things themselves. Hence, although the same sacrifices were offered every year, they could not perfect those who offered them. So we're looking, you know, when you really sum it all up, let us, it's like a flood of remembrances coming back here. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 13. No, let's start at verse 11. We're going into a little reflection, a little remembrance here upon, you know, these sacrifices which they offered year by year, talking about, you know, that which was happening in the natural. Now, let's transcend and bring it over. You know, we're looking at a shadow, the good things to come. And now let us look at the image. But Christ, Hebrews 9:11, we went over this already, but it's good to reflect because we can build upon. One thing, you know, about looking into the water of life, it's always good to see the reflection of Christ. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come. Now, you see, it is in harmony there. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. And he says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. See, we had a correlation that the high priests that were ordained for men were taking from among men. And these priests had to continually give an offering year by year by year by year. And verse 13 says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth what? To the purifying of the flesh. So all of this that took place in that which was going on natural, it only dealt with the flesh. It only dealt with the temporal man. So, you know, because it was on that level, it was on that premise, that's the reason, you know, year by year, by year, by year, it had to continually take on this cycle to a point to where the Most High God said, I'm tired of it. I am sick of it. Away with your vain offerings, your vain oblations, everything, because you just get into a rut and you're doing it with no substance. But in verse 14 of 9, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Yah, purge your conscience from dead works? See, this blood of bulls and goats, they could not take away sins. They only covered it. And then that covering only was enough for one whole year. Purge conscience, this conscience, this area of a person's inner being or the mind that governs a person's thoughts and actions. But, you know, this blood of bulls and of goats could not reach to that depth. It only was able to wash the flesh, to cleanse the flesh. That was not good enough for the Most High God. So the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and we've read right now, Yeshua being part of that good things to come. Now in this, you know, when we reflected last time and we immersed ourselves, when we broke bread, when we fellowshipped, and we talked about the blood, the blood, the blood. We, from the inner man, and I'm not talking with your logic and with your head knowledge, do we really believe the blood will cleanse us? So we no longer need the blood of bulls, goats, bullocks, and the ashes of a heifer. No, we've moved into the greater. We've moved into, and we're starting to see the image. And we should start be seeing the image being formed in us. But do we really believe the blood will cleanse us? Do we really believe the blood will cleanse us? And if we really believe, and we have confessed our sins, and have turned and repented, and walked in newness of life, then why? Why, we the people of Yah, do we still live in condemnation of past things? I mean, I'm really contesting this, because I see a lot of brothers and sisters still struggling with things of the past. Do you really believe that the power of the blood is able to wash your conscience? Or you only to believe it that the blood of Christ can only, you know, take care of your flesh? No wonder you really think because you not believed, you know, to the depth of the inner man, then this remembrance of your sin is continually and continually and continually upon you. And it's vexing you. And it's riding you like a monkey on your back. And you're riddled with sins of the past and thoughts of the past and what you did in the past. When the blood of Christ should have, and that is its purpose, it's the good things to come, purge your conscience from that dead work. You know, I've been walking, and as the years go on, I'm maturing. I'm coming to the perfect, and you should be coming to the perfect. Why do you let the things of the past condemn you? If you are now, if you confess that you're walking in newness of life, if you confess that the blood of Christ is strong and able enough to purge your conscience, and it should, leave it to the point that once you have laid it on the altar, that you have confessed it, that you, from your whole being, that you know you offended the Holy Yah, that you walk away from it, and then there's no more remembrance of it. Spirit of Yah be in you, then his spirit would say, hey, you know, I've cast that sin into, you know, the sea of forgiveness. I have separated it from you. Why should you have remembrance of it? Why? See, we're destined as children of the Most High God to come to perfection. And this perfection is not as the world thinks, that you think you're better than me, that you're better than this, and you're better than that. This perfection is talking about being complete, being mature, being whole. He has made us whole. If we would just take that into our conscience. You know, I've let quiet. When I've been here with you, my brother and sister, I know I've rang this in your ears so many times about conscience and consciousness. Because, you know, as I studied on this word conscience, that Paul, you know, so many times he would write in such a manner that he's trying to reach you at that level. And that's where the Most High Yah wants to reach us, at that level, level of the inner man. The word of Yah can never be received with the external man, this man that is only here temporarily. And that's why I see a lot of people perishing. I see a lot of people cannot walk this walk, talk this talk, because there's no life in them. But they think they have life because, you know, they have this somewhat a handful of knowledge that has puffed them up. No experience. No life experience, no suffering, no sacrificing, no being immersed. And yet they got testimony? No, the good things to come is that after the Spirit has come upon you and when He's in you, then you will be witnesses. Good things to come to bring us to perfection. That is the good thing that has come in the law, and its inception was casting forth a shadow. But our brothers and sisters and the patriarchs of old could only see the shadow, but here we are, the people of Yah. Now we're walking in the image, and we're having trouble seeing people hung up with this David is the Messiah and all this stuff, you know, that was a shadow. People are still living in the shadows. You have no testimony to the living as long as you're in that, as you're walking in the past, as you treading like the Gentiles in the outer court with this frame of mind, with this frame of understanding. Let us move on, saints. Verse 2 of chapter 10 says, for then they, talking about the sacrifices, we're talking about the blood of bulls, the blood of bullocks, the sacrifices. For then, talking about then, would they not have ceased to be offered? If, you know, if this sacrificing of animals brought, you know, the worshiper to perfection, then what's the need for the bringing on of the image? That's what verse 2 says. For then, would they have ceased to be offered because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins? But it did not. We've seen that it didn't reach to that point, that even though a life was taken from that bull, from that goat, whatever the sacrifice was, it was only, again, through the purifying of the flesh. And as you saints to really meditate on this, really, you know, when you think of the flesh, you know, that thing is in the external. That thing is temporal. That thing is in the, I'll call it the outer court. But we, the saints of the Most High Yah, should have our feet on the highway to holiness. You know, He is begging us to come into the Holy of Holies. Whereas in the time of old, there was a veil. There was a veil there that only one chosen high priest could go into that place every year with this blood of bulls and goats and bullocks and whatever it may be. But we see, you know, this was casting a shadow of good things to come. Then we look upon a tree, and there's a body of our Savior. And we see that body bellowing out and saying in its last words, it is finished. And there was great earthquakes and thunderings, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, that place that was, you know, separating us from the presence of Yah. Now we have access through this sacrifice to go from the sanctuary and to the Holy of Holies by his blood, because he by himself sacrificed himself, knowing that he prized us more than his own being. And I'm like, you, the creator of the whole universe, creator of all things, would manifest your love in this manner toward us. And we would poo-poo on it, and we would turn our backs on it, and we would not look into this law of liberty and continually let it guide us and bring us closer to him. That he would mature us and make us complete. You mean the law would actually bring us to this point? Yes. Yes. Yes, because we know the essence of the law embodies the full body of love. That love sacrificed itself, allowed itself to be slain on a tree. To rent, you know, that body that was keeping us out of his presence. Rent that veil. And we have problems renting our own veil because we're living in the past. We ourselves, you know, not been crucified, not been impaled with him. Let this mind be in you as it was in Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. The good suffering. And the more and the more and the more, you know, as I speak on this and in my spirit that is welling up, you know, it just adds to the garment of praise. I mean, I am, you know, storing up, you know, praise and worship for my Savior. And it is a good thing. It's a good thing. These are good things to come. If it wasn't for this law, how would I know the mind of Yah? How would I know his purpose? How would I know his will? I don't walk around, oh, Most High Yah, what is your will for me? Look into the law of liberty. Look into the law and then see his will. But it says again, for then would they not have ceased to be offered if it didn't make the people, the worshipers, they're too perfect. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. You hear that? Conscience of sins. Now I'm jumping over here again to the Lamsa version. For if they had once been perfected, they would have ceased from their offerings. From henceforth, their minds would not have driven them into the sins from which they had once been cleansed. Now we really look at, you know, the behooving of Christ, especially in Hebrews chapter 6. Go back and read that in light of what we just read. Saints of the Most High Yah, if you're in this walk, count yourself worthy, please, please, please. If you were not worthy, then there would be no body on the tree. You receive the impalement. You receive the love. You receive the law. You receive his spirit. You receive. Like Yeshua said to the disciples, receive. Come on, receive. Come on, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Come on. You know, he's basically saying, I'm giving it to you. Come on, take it. Take it. Take it. Not everyone is, you know, given it. But you that had this grace opened unto you. If you had this door opened unto you, walk. 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 Walk in it. Don't worry what's down the road. Don't take the things of the past and try to bring them over into this walk, thinking that the Most High is going to get you down the road and you're going to be crying out like the children of, oh, I bring us down here to kill us of hunger and thirst. And many do. I see, you know, that very act happen in this day and this hour. When they want to charge Yah wrong. When he's reaching out his hand in love and in mercy and in truth and in judgment.
Well, I don't need a pastor, and I don't need an evangelist, and I don't need a teacher. I don't need anybody rule over me.
Yeah, when there were no judges in the land, the people which did what was right in their own eyes. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Now you see, when there's judges in your land, you ain't going to do that which is right in your own mind. Because you have a different mind. The new man has a new mind. The new man has a new voice. And here you are walking in the renewed covenant. You are the body of Christ. As he has suffered, arm yourselves likewise. As he has sacrificed, I give you the power to sacrifice. The law having a shadow of good things to come. But the author of our salvation, and the finisher of our salvation, it behooved him to take on flesh and blood like we have, to deliver us out of this body of death. You know, Pastor said it yesterday, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then we come back assuredly with the good thing to come. I praise Yah. I praise Yeshua. And through him, hey, with my mind, the thing which is in my inner man, that law which is in my conscience, I can serve the living Yah. In verse 3, chapter 10, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. And it says, for it is not possible. You know, we're trying to bring us into perfection, maturity, completeness. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Then why, Most High, did you have it take place? It was a shadow of good things to come. First, that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. He's bringing the two together so that it's perfect, that it's complete. Oh, hallelujah. 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 For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. They did not take away sins. They just covered. Because that high priest went into the Holy of Holies and stood before the mercy seat. And between the two cherubim right below the presence of Yah, he sprinkled the blood of bulls and goats. And it covered. It didn't take away. Because if it did take away, then why? It says, why? Why is there a remembrance of their sins from year to year then? This very act brought that person bringing the sacrifice, it brought into them perfect, then there will be no need of Yeshua. Well, we thank Yah for the inception of Yeshua. As Yeshua said this, verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Yeshua saith, when he come into the world, when he says, it behooves me to take on flesh and blood. I want to come into that world, that temporal world that my children, the children that you have given me, Yah, the one that, you know, I have such a great love, a great desire that I want to deliver them out of this body of death. For when he come into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And we are the body of Christ now, as the word has so eloquently told us. If we would receive the testimony, if the law in our hearts and our minds would just beckon and echo this in our being, and the new man knows this. The old man has nothing to do with it. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. I'm glad it's going back to the dirt. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And he says, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Did you have no pleasure in this very act? Because it didn't take away sins. There was always a remembrance of sins year after year after year. Now you see why it was a failing system. But the Most High Yah had to bring this into being. First that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. To bring it to a complete, bring it to a perfect for us, so that we can come into the perfect. And Yeshua said, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will of Yah. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sins, thou wouldest not. Neither had its pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. And he said, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Yah. He take away the first, that he may establish the second. So we know the first Adam was a living soul. Second Adam, quickening spirit. Said by the will, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now let's reflect back again in Hebrews 9, starting at verse 23. It says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. It says this Christ, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, not in that old worldly sanctuary, that temporary tabernacle, which are the figures of the true, and that's word reverberating, that shadow again. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Yah for us. And it says not, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he, Yeshua, have suffered since the foundation of the world. He suffered, he suffered, he suffered. But it was a good suffering. As he had a different mindset, we heard, he come to do thy will. He'd come to do Yah's will. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation, since the beginning of the world. But now, once, listen, this is profound. But now, once in the end of the world. And that should, you know, now look at that. And you really look at that in the child of Yah. You look at that in the believer. You know, the world that was should have ended in us. And that's the reason, you know, I'm really imploring you saints of the Most High, you are that are troubled with your past, that you're still struggling with sins that you continually repent of. Consider, you know, how deep do you believe? Do you really, really, really believe the word of Yah and believe that the blood of Christ is able and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness and sins? You know, this is the depth of repentance. That you believe it to that point that as it resonates from your heart, resonates from your being, that once that you have went through this sacrifice, went through this suffering, that no longer you look back on it, that you would partake of the good things to come, that you would walk in newness of life, that Yeshua HaMashiach is so desiring to give you his child. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Saints of the Most High, Yah, lot to meditate on. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G. T-O-N, P-O 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Oh, hallelujah. Saints of the Most High, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Wenda, again for that mailing address and that wonderful comforting words, the King is coming. Oh, hallelujah. Now, all that we have fellowshipped with tonight, again in Hebrews 10, 11, we're going to continue on and we'll go through this real quick, all the way down to verse 18. And all that we, you know, we reflected on tonight, that we fellowshipped with tonight, the bread that we broke, I pray again that all that has, you know, been taught Shabbat, sister-to-sister broadcast, this broadcast, continually keep your mind on these things. Don't let them slip. Just keep them in meditation. You keep your mind on these things, they'll keep you in peace, saints. But in verse 11, it says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." But this man, talking about Yeshua, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and we forgot to really, really from the new man believe this, sat down on the right hand of Yah, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Because of this, you know, a law having a shadow of good things to come. Why? You know, you really think of this, you know, till his enemies be made his footstool. And, you know, he's talking about death. And he's given us, the believers, the power over death. We have passed from death unto life. Now that we are in this walk, now that we have received remission of sins, now that we have this law written in our hearts and our minds, we can heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, making our enemies our footstools, because we are the body of Christ. And this power, you know, we have inheritance in this power. And if he be in you of the truth and the power of Yah in you, then the kingdom of Yah is within you to cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, you know, and all these wonderful works of love. This man, after he had offered one man, one sacrifice for sins forever. You see the correlation, you know, not the priest of old who did the offerings and the sacrifices, which only covered for 1 year, but this man, the shadow, the image, shadow of the high priest then, the image, Yeshua HaMashiach, the high priest now. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yah, sit down in power. We sit in power, saints of the Most High Yah. From henceforth, expecting, and we should be expecting as Yeshua is expecting, till his enemies be made his footstool. Said before, by one offering, he hath perfected forever. Per what? Perfected forever. What? For by one offering, when he offered himself, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And I'm like, that says a lot. In verse 15, here it comes again, more solidification, more testimony, more power, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. Oh, hallelujah. For after that, he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And it says, because of this, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why? Because I put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them there so that I, the one who wants to be pleased in this, and the putting away of the sin, he has pleasure. He has pleasure in this. He didn't have pleasure in the covering of sins, but he has pleasure in, you know, the putting away of sins forever. The law having a shadow of good things to come. And Yeshua has come, and the King is coming. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It says, now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Saints of the Most High, it's been good tonight. Enjoyed the fellowship. And in everything, you know, as I read this, and as I receive the testimony, all I can feel well up in me is life, life, love, life, the Spirit of Yah. You know, I can feel His presence. I can feel His anointing. I can feel, you know, not with the hour, not with the flesh, but I have a witness within myself, you know, that He is pleased, you know, to, you know, and I am grateful, you know, to take time to talk to my brothers and sisters, to teach, you know, in this administration. And you know, Pastor, he has passion to, you know, to get something into your conscience, you know, to oh, praise Yah, saints of the Most High. You know what I'm saying. Praise be to Yah and to Yeshua. Thank you all, saints of the Most High. Thank you, Brother Paul, Brother Ugly. Thank you for the weekly broadcast, Brother Paul. We'll still be getting stuff your way to bring this vehicle of edification that you have allowed yourself, that you have sacrificed yourself in, Brother Paul, you know, for the saints of the Most High. And I pray you saints of the Most High, come, go and look, you know, and see this broadcast, because it's there for your edification. It's there for your nurturing. It's there for your maturing. It's there for your perfecting, because we're not doing it of our own volition, but we know we're doing it, you know, to the one that we desire to please, because, you know, there's nobody else. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, saints of the Most High. Bless you all. And know that the war is good. War is going to continue, saints of the Most High. But we are overcomers. Death has no more dominion over us. And you've got to say that each and every day. When you wake up in the morning, you say, hallelujah, bless you, Most High. You've allowed me to have shelter, food. I mean, you have provided all of my needs according to your riches and glory. I'm in the right mind, and I am clothed. And I can take on this day in your power, in your word, in your grace, and in your mercy. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, hallelujah. Our King is coming. Hallelujah. Bless you all, saints of the Most High, Yah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 King is coming.